And now, you're tuned into RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is the RBLR Rays Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobb, along with my co-host, Pat Davenport. Pat, do you know what today is?
I think I know what today is. Is it the anniversary of the Rays being born?
30 years ago today, an ownership group was approved to begin a franchise in Tampa Bay in 1995, 30 years ago today, March 9th. Happy anniversary to the Rays. This is the day 30 years ago where it all began. And look where we are now. They have their own podcast. it's truly amazing where they've come in 30 years.
Yeah, they have a podcast. Funnily enough, their future in Tampa is less certain now than it was 30 years ago. Where the team is going to be playing is pretty uncertain. But since then, you know, the Rays have had a handful of AL East titles, two AL pennants, many Rookie of the Years, a couple of Cy Youngs in there. Pretty established baseball team, I would say.
Very established baseball team.
Yeah, they're a force to be reckoned with in the hardest division in baseball most years. So we don't talk about the first decade too much, but after that, you know, they've been a consistent force since about 2008. So we love that. Happy birthday, Rays.
Happy birthday, Rays. And if you want to celebrate the Rays birthday with us, we would really appreciate that. And if you would do us a huge favor, if you're enjoying the show, this is your first time, just stick around and enjoy. We hope that you do. If you're coming back, do us a little favor and drop us a like or a subscribe if you're enjoying the show. And actually, while I'm talking to all y'all out there, I'm always talking to all y'all, but while I'm talking to all y'all out there in the audience, I actually have an apology to make to all of you to start this show. I've done you a disservice. I've been keeping something from you guys. I've been hiding something away, so hoping you guys didn't notice it because it was making me smarter and I didn't want you guys to know. But I feel like I have to. I have to tell you guys about the RBLR Rays roundtable article every single week. I feel like I've been coming into the show with like extra ammunition because I read the Rays roundtable articles every single week. They have fantastic stuff every week. I haven't been telling you guys about it just because I wanted to keep it for myself, but I can't do it anymore. Everybody out there needs to go as soon as this show is over and go to rblrsports.com and read the Rays Roundtable articles. There's three out so far. They are all fantastic. All of the amazing authors that contribute to the Roundtable do a fantastic job every single week. It drops every week or just about every week. Look out for it. Read it when it's out. It's a phenomenal article. All three of them have been bangers. Go do that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I'm kind of gutted that we can't use it as our little secret anymore now that it's out there. In fact, I'm getting word in my ear that there will be a brand new one out tomorrow. So if you're not listening to this live and listen to it after the fact, then there's probably already a new one for you to listen to. I mean to read. And, you know, the authors really know their stuff, and they all come from different specialisms. We've got some data guys. We've got some guys that specialize in the farm system. We've got some true fans out there. We got all kind of walks of baseball writing involved in those roundtables, and they're a super digestible but super informative read every single week. And, you know, it takes about 10 minutes to read, but it clues you up on a bunch of different things that's going on around Rays baseball. So a really good shout. The secret is out.
The secret is out. So you need to go be reading that. But for now, we've got a stacked show for you guys. We're going to be talking about spring training, all of the stuff that's been going on this week. You know, with spring training, there's not always a whole lot to talk about. But we've got a couple topics we need to discuss with you guys, and we hope you'll talk about it with us. And then after that, we've got maybe the hardest preview of any position group that we've done so far in the bullpen. Who's going to be there? There's a lot of names out there that are really talented that are all vying for spots. Who's going to get those spots? We're going to talk about it with you guys. We hope you'll share your thoughts as well. But we're going to get started with spring training, the week that was. I mean, I really feel like any conversation we have about the Rays spring training has to start and end with Curtis Meade. He's been lighting it on fire, 15 for 20, crazy batting average, driving guys in, becoming a bit of a national story now. Got a shout out from Jeff Passan the other day. He's becoming more than just a, you know, kind of a Rays. Like, we're just kind of watching and we're excited about it. And I got to be honest, I'm feeling a little better about my my prediction of him being on the opening day roster every at bat he takes.
Yeah, he's becoming impossible to deny. I know it's still a small sample and it's still only spring training, but oh my goodness. So on March 6th, Jeff Passan himself tweeted about Curtis Mead. He said, Tampa Bay infielder Curtis Mead, who's mentioned in the story below as someone to watch, is 4-for-4 today and is now 14-for-18 with a 1.81 OPS this spring. So yeah, he is on pace to maybe have the greatest spring training of all time. like I that's not even me being hyperbolic. If those stats maintain throughout the rest of spring training, it will probably be the best spring training campaign of all time with it, you know, with a, you know, minimum number of play appearances. It's, yeah, been undeniable how good he has been. Taking lots of hits the opposite way has been a big thing for him. Going up a lot, lots of line drives, like you said, kind of like a guy that will find the gaps, kind of doubles kind of guy. He's only left the yard once, but he's becoming what your ideal of him is in the spring training competition so far. And when you couple that with the already positional versatility and kind of defensive ability upgrades that he has on Eloy Jimenez, then he is definitely emerging as a big favorite to take that final roster spot. And I think he'd have to fall off really hard now to lose it.
Yeah, or his running mate, Eloy, would really have to step it up. And he's been, like, he hasn't been bad. I don't think that's fair to characterize him as been bad. He hasn't been lighting the world on fire. He has been pretty good. He's picked it up a little bit over the past couple of games. It's just going to come down to a really hard decision, I think. And I think what you pointed out is a really good point. The positional versatility that Curtis Mead gives you if he's on your roster, it is something the Rays consistently, we know this about the team, they like guys with positional versatility. If you are not a starter for them, they want you to be able to play at least two positions. Pretty much like across the board. It's very rare to have somebody on the roster who is not starting, who is not playing at least two positions for the Rays. They really don't do backup single position guys. They really don't. So you really have to have that versatility, and Mead does. He can play anywhere in the infield pretty much. I wouldn't want to see him at shortstop really, but he probably could do it for a game maybe or two. But he is competent at third base, probably good to above average at second base, and would be fine at first if you needed him there. I don't think he can play the outfield, but they may try him there at some point. I don't know. But the fact that he can play all the infield positions, I feel like gives him a really good shot to get on this roster, especially if they end up doing what I think they should do and swap out Caballero for Chandler Simpson. Unfortunately for my hopes, Simpson hasn't been bad, but he's like cooled off a little bit. He is not like scorching hot as he was to start it off. And Cabby's actually played pretty well over the past couple of games. So it's gonna be tough. I do feel like, as much as I would like it, and I feel like a guy that is running maybe the fastest guy in Major League Baseball right now, if he went up right now, and you just can't keep that guy in AAA. You know, I do wonder if they're going to go the safer route and keep Cabby on the roster to have the backup shortstop.
Yeah, a backup shortstop is always useful. Gave Taylor Walls a day off his feet. Because Caballero can do the same positions as Curtis Mead. That's the main kicker.
Yes.
And can probably field them a little better than Curtis Mead at the expense of lighter hitting, I would say.
Yes, definitely. But then again, Caballero also brings speed, where Mead is not going to bring speed in a tradition. Like, he's not going to be stealing a bunch of bases. He's not, like, slow per se, but he's not the weapon that Cabby is on the bases when he's not getting thrown out. But he still does have the ability to be a weapon on the bases, where Mead is really just there for his bat and his, acceptable positional versatility. Whereas when we go when we take the comparison back over to, say, Jimenez, he really has to, it's kind of the same thing we talked about with Morel, right? He's got to be hitting because he's not providing any value. And he's probably taking a roster spot away from somebody like Aranda a lineup position. If he's playing in a game, if he's in, either Yandy or Aranda is not. And to me, that's kind of where the trouble with Jimenez comes in. Because if you're telling me I got to take Aranda or Yandy out of the game to get him starts, whereas I could take, you know, Brandon Lau, who's going to need days off yes. of his feet. Yeah. And if they want to do a more righty heavy lineup against a lefty, that's a great opportunity to bring Curtis Mead in. I don't know.
Is there a world where Jimenez can make this roster?
I mean, yes, there is. There is, because the thing is, as much as I think Mead is playing super, super well, the fact is he has options. And there's a world where the Rays say, we want to try Jimenez out on the team to start the season, knowing that Mead can just kind of continue to do his thing at AAA and be ready whenever to come up. You do not have that option with Jimenez. I very much doubt he's going to accept an assignment to Durham. I just don't see it happening. He may. That's possible. But I don't think it's going to happen. So if you don't put him on the opening roster, you'll lose him. And I do think there's a world where the Rays say, we want to see this guy at the major league level and just see what he's got. That's the only scenario. I think if we're just looking at how they've performed, and to be fair, just looking at performance in spring training is not necessarily going to determine if they're going to be on the roster. Like, spring training isn't everything. They're going to look at more than that no matter what. But if you were to just look at spring training, there's no world where Jimenez would get in over Mead. But even when you do look at that other stuff, I just feel like if you were going with any reason other than, you know, Jimenez is a vet, we want to try him at the major league level on this roster because we brought him in, we want to try him. I don't think you're being disingenuous. I think if you claim any other reason, I think that's the reason to go with Jimenez over Mead, personally.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you make a really good point of how you want to spend a roster spot and how valuable each one is. And yeah. When someone can't field, you don't want to have too many of those. And like Aranda is like a guy that you only really want to play at first and second in a pinch. You'll primarily get his at-bats at DH. Right. Morel is a guy that can't really field. Jimenez hasn't played the field in like 2 years, so he's a guy that could only like do so much. And you're like, is that the best way we want to use our roster, is having three guys that we want to keep off the field?
Right.
It's not very Raisy, I would say. And that's why Caballero, like, because he's learning corner outfield, can play anywhere in the infield, like that feels like a more valuable use of a roster spot than someone like Jimenez.
Yeah, I would agree. You definitely can't have Mead and Jimenez on the same roster. That doesn't work. I don't think if my idea of not having Cabby would be exclusively to get a gadget guy. I want to say gadget. That kind of diminishes what Chandler Simpson is, because I think he could be a really, really good player, especially as he gets more comfortable. But right now, he's basically a gadget guy. And you'd rather have that than a guy who's really providing no value except for a bat. And in that role, you've got quite a few guys that's the role that they play. Doesn't really make sense to add another guy like that. So there's a lot of games left to be played, though, and it remains to be seen. It remains to be seen.
It remains to be seen. We've still got two more weeks of spring games, which is quite a lot of time.
Yep. And if you want to stick with us as we are talking about all the remaining spring games that we have over the next couple of weeks, and as we head into the season, it's here very, very soon. We can almost taste it. It's almost there. If you want to be with us through all of that, do us a huge favor and subscribe and follow us on whatever platform you watch us on. It. I hope you're enjoying the show. And if you are doing that, it's free. It doesn't sign you up for anything. All that it does is help us and support us. We recently broke the 500 subscriber mark, which is awesome. Thank you guys so much. It means so much to us to have that support from you guys. And we hope to continue to bring you the best race show out there. And right now, we're going to bring you one of the more difficult positional previews that I think we've done since I've been on the show. And it's the bullpen. It's really, really tough, because when you look at the bullpen as it's constituted right now, you're already at a bit of a disadvantage relative to maybe some of the seasons, because this year they are very clearly going with a 5.5-man rotation, which means you have 6 spots already spoken for, basically, because you're going to have 5 traditional starters and then another guy who's a flex guy. So you've got 6 spots gone. And we've already kind of talked about that. Shane, Taj, Pepio, Littell, Boz, Rasmussen, in no particular order. I read them off of Fangraphs. That's no particular order, but those are the guys that we're looking at there. So that leaves you only 7 spots, because we traditionally, the Rays carry 13 and 13, most teams do. So that leaves you.
13's the maximum you're allowed at any given time.
That's right. That's right. So 13 pitchers. You've only got 6 spots left. Of the 6 spots that are left, I think 4, and we could maybe talk about a fifth guy that is, I think, is a lock. The 4 locks to me are Pete Fairbanks, Edwin Uceda, Garrett Clevenger, and Emrod. And part of why I believe those guys are locks is because none of them have options. So if you do not put them on the roster, you'll lose them. And they're all really good. There's no reason to not put them on the roster because they're all really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can agree with that. We've got seven spots if we have six in the rotation. So that gives us
seven spots.
We got three kind of non-locks. I think you're totally right. That Fairbanks has to be there. He's going to be the closest thing we have to a closer. The Rays don't tend to necessarily operate with traditional closer roles, though, where they just have high leverage, medium leverage, low leverage. And high leverage can sometimes mean the ninth inning save, but that can also sometimes mean what's the most important point in your game. So if you're up 2-0 and the starter loads the bases with one out, sometimes they'll go to your high leverage guy, which could be Fairbanks, it could be Uceda. First, but yeah, Fairbanks will be as close to the closer as the Rays will go. Uceda had an absolutely standout season last year, breakout year, was absolutely outstanding down the second half, has to be on the roster, especially because he's got no options. Clevenger, something that's interesting about this Rays bullpen this year is kind of the lack of left-handed options,
I was going to bring up.
Yeah, so Clevenger is an established veteran left-hander. And because we've lost Colin Pochet, you need to have Garrett Clevenger as your medium leverage lefty, right?
Yep.
And Emrod, yeah, I think Emrod has to be there just because he doesn't have a lot. He was really good in the second half of last year. I think underrated, really. Not many people talked about him, but he was sneaky good. And no options. So, yeah, I think that makes them the locks. I think you're 100% right. So we've got Fairbanks, Uceda, Clevenger, Emrod. We've got three other spots to fill from there. And this is where it gets interesting. I want to start with Mason Montgomery. Mason Montgomery, I think, has to be one of the relievers in this bullpen just because we need a second lefty in it. Mason Montgomery has options, still very young. But we need a second lefty, and his stuff is absolutely unbelievable. Like, really high-octane fastball, wipeout stuff. Like, love everything he showed last year. Earned major league spot, as far as I'm concerned, even though he has options. But we need a second lefty in that pen. Otherwise, things are going to get messy if you want platoon advantages. And your other kind of options, if you wanted to go to, like, lefty pitches, you'd have to convert Joe Rock or Ian Seymour into a reliever to make that work, which we don't want to do. So for me, Montgomery is number five. Do you agree?
1,000,000%. I'm almost tempted to call him a lock. I kind of do consider him a lock, honestly. He's a guy that, you know, not, and I think one thing that we've also buried the lead on a little bit is I don't know if the door is completely shut on him starting games for the Rays at some point in his career.
Okay.
I'm not sure they've completely closed the door there. I don't think he's going to start any games in 2025 unless he's like an opener like they've done in the past, which I don't know if they'll do or not. He'd be a great opener, I think. I think there's a chance that he could end up starting games at some point. I think they're really locked in on this kid for obvious reasons. He has potential to be elite. The stuff is elite. The fastball is elite. I think he's 100% lock. And you make a really good point about something that is – I would almost call it, I don't want to say uncharacteristic, that feels like harsh, but very strange because we are used to the Rays having a pretty even mix of lefties and righties, and that is not the case this year. You're right. There's really only those two in Clevenger and Montgomery that are really, we'd really be looking seriously at getting bullpen innings. Makes you wonder if they're going to make a move at some point because they do like to have that, you know, lefty righty and have the ability to platoon on that. So it'd be interesting to see if they make a move there at some point during the season.
Yeah. I think picking up bullpen pieces is either because we've been stung by the injury bug or we're in it going into the deadline. And then that's like, we'll pick up a guy that is on the fringe of a big league roster that we turn into a monster, is usually the modus operandi of the Rays in that scenario.
Exactly.
But I could see Montgomery taking over from Clevenger in the higher leverage spots by the end of the year. I think Clevenger will move into kind of middle mid leverage, and Montgomery moves into the high leverage spots and could even take some closing opportunities by the end of the year, because everywhere he's went, he's had monster strikeout numbers. I mean, oh my God, last year he had like a 46% strikeout percentage in the big league level. It was only across, you know, a handful of innings, but 46% strikeout rate is diabolical.
It's diabolical.
Yeah. 188 average against, you know, he did have a few walks, but again, that's just going to come with his high octane stuff that people just don't want to swing at it. And they'll just go, I'm just going to let this go and hope that he like misses, basically.
Yeah.
But it's not like such a high walk percentage that it's concerning, assuming it doesn't get bigger.
Yeah. And I would say that that's something that the Rays are looking at too. Like, again, like we always say this, if we're looking at something that we see as a little, maybe a tiny red flag, the Rays obviously know about it. And I'm sure that that's something they're looking at as well, because with a lot of these guys that the Rays have, where they have this big stuff, they all know if we just get it in the zone, guys, lights out. So I really have no concerns about the command for him. I think it's going to be a great season for him. I really like your idea of maybe moving, you know, switching roles maybe halfway through the season. Because, again, if you have a guy like Clevinger who, you know, he's really good. And if he is now your, like, middle reliever, you've got a very good bullpen if Mike Clevinger is your middle reliever. That is not his name. His name is Garrett Clevinger. Excuse me. I'm having a rough morning with names. I'm having a tough time.
We've only got two spots left. Which is what the scary thing is, because I'm going to list the kind of viable options for those two spots and kind of give you the scenarios surrounding them. And then we're probably going to argue over which two should take that. So we have, first of all, the kind of swingman types, which are Alex Fiedo and Mike Vassell. Vassell acquired via Rule 5, and Alex Fiedo traded for back in early February from the Tigers. Both of these guys are bulk guys. They're multi-inning relievers at worst. Fiedo took a lot of starts for the Tigers last year. Vassell could start games as well. Both of them are in contention for a bullpen spot, but also that kind of half man rotation spot that we've penciled in Drew Rasmussen to do. So those got Fiedo and Vassell. Fiedo showed some good promise and had a decent year with the Tigers last year, has a really nice slider, can get a lot of ground balls. Vassell is very much a not high velocity ground ball command type guy, but has not shown tons of promising stuff yet. Then the next kind of group of guys are guys that have been up and done it for the Rays at the big league level. Kevin Kelly, Cole Salsa, Hunter Biggie. Biggie had a cup of coffee, really, at the big league level, but was a big part of the Isaac Paredes trade with the Cubs. And has unbelievable stuff. And actually, his command wasn't completely out of control, but it can do sometimes. It can go a bit wild. Was mostly in AAA last year, but in a cup of coffee looked decent. The thing about Hunter Biggie is he has options. His roster status is more flexible, but again, could be a real lights-out righty. And again, could be a high-leverage guy by the end of the season if you give him a long enough ride. Kevin Kelly has been with the Rays for two whole years since being acquired, kind of through a Rule 5 thing. So he's not subject to Rule 5 rules anymore, but had an outstanding past couple of years with the Rays. Been really, really good. No reason why he shouldn't be on the roster other than he's one of the guys that has options. Like that's it, right? Like Fiedo and Vassell don't. Fiedo, you would have to DFA. Vassell, you would have to send back to the Phillies because of Rule 5 regulations. If he's not on the roster, Kevin Kelly could be optioned, but he's definitely got a major league track record of being a really good reliever. Then Cole Salsa, he's a veteran. He's 35. He's been with the Rays a couple of times. He's bounced around, a bit of a journeyman reliever. And the reason for that is because he's not really been great. He's been okay. He can do a job. he would never be the first man that you'd call on to get saves, but he could be the guy where you're down three runs and you wanted to try and stay in the game. So those three are in the mix. And then finally, you've got a couple of like wild cards. You've got Eric Aws and Mason Engler. Engler acquired a couple of weeks ago, also from the Tigers, had some decent showings while at the major league level with the Tigers. So again, I think he's kind of on a similar level as Fiedo, except Englert's definitely a reliever and couldn't like be a bulk innings guy. So if you want a true reliever version of Fiedo, you can go with Englert. But again, Englert has options. And then Eric Aws, we acquired from the Mets, I believe, as part of the Jose Siri trade, and has had a really good spring so far. Has showed a lot in spring. Had like a couple of days on the major league roster for the Mets, but had good AAA numbers. Also has options. We got two spots and we got seven guys.
There's one other guy.
Oh,
Joe Boyle.
Joe Boyle. Okay. So I'm going to say Joe Boyle for me. I would rather he continued to hold his craft in AAA to be a starter.
So you want him to start. You don't want him in the bullpen.
Yeah, I think he's good enough to be a true out and out starter, and I think he should hold his craft in AAA. I think it would be detrimental to his development to go into like a 1-2 inning reliever role guy.
Yeah, but it'd be really fun. it'd be so fun.
It would be. You would be lights out, but then like we've also got Hunter Biggie who does the same thing and will always be a reliever.
Yeah.
So I'm going to personally not put Joe Boyle on my roster. Joe Boyle is the next man up into the rotation as soon as there's an injury.
Okay. All right. I can buy that.
Okay. Because I love Joe Boyle, but I want to make sure he's ready to be like a proper starter. We did it with Tyler Glasnow. When he first came over, he spent some time in AAA to just get his stuff together before he came up. So let's start arguing. I'm going to put Kevin Kelly on the roster.
You are. I mean, it's hard not to. A guy that's been a staple in the bullpen for the last 2 years. And we're having a serious conversation about whether he breaks camp.
Right.
Man.
It would feel so unfair for the reason he is not on the major league roster. Purely he has like an option, because I don't think there's many people that would have two good years. I mean, last year, a whip below one in over 70 innings, an ERA of 2.67, a 3.2% walk rate, which puts him in the 99th percentile, a 5% barrel percentage, which puts him in the 89th percentile, 56% ground ball rate, which puts him in the 93rd percentile, 86.9 average exit velocity, which puts him in the 89th percentile. He is a ground ball, soft contact wizard. And like, he never walks, guys. That's the most reliable thing you could ever ask for in a reliever. Like, he's never going to give up home runs. He's never going to give up walks. And you go, if he gets BABIPed, he gets BABIPed. But he hasn't for the 2 years he's been with the Rays. And he's played 125 games of 2.88 ERA ball for the Rays in 2 years.
It
would be a crime to leave him off the roster.
And the thing that makes it so hard is because I think that, like, I want to say that I want Hunter Biggie on the roster.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and we can talk about this, but I feel like it's either Fiedo and Vassell for one spot. And then it's some combination of Biggie, Kelly, Engler for that other spot. And the truth is, when you look at the guys that are right now, P. Fairbanks, big fastball. Uceda, big fastball. Clevenger, he's pretty big fastball. Emrod, big fastball. Montgomery, big fastball. As much as I love Vicky and I was ready to fight for him on the roster. But I mean, I can't really argue with anything you just said. You laid it out so well, how good he's been for this team. The fact that he's come over from the Rule 5 and done everything they've asked of him has been excellent. And the fact that he gives you a different look out of the bullpen than some of, I mean, and they all give you different looks, but to have a guy that, to go from a guy like a Mason Montgomery to then have to go to a guy like Kevin Kelly is just such a whiplash for a lineup.
Yeah.
It's just, man, it's just a really good case. And I want Hunter Biggie on the roster so bad because we've seen what he can do. We know the stuff is there. And when you watch guys like Engler and Orzy in spring training, they've been so good. Mm-hmm. They've been so good. But at the same time, spring training's nice. Regular season is like, that's how you get contracts. And all Kevin Kelly has done is pitch out of his mind. Man, I was ready to argue.
If any other team took a guy who has had Kevin Kelly's performance record over 2 years of many appearances, by the way, like this guy has not been hidden at all. Yeah. He's been 50 plus games the past 2 years. Everyone would go, what are they thinking if they didn't put him on the roster?
Man, that's such a good point. Man, he's so good though.
Yeah, and I think he's quiet. Forget how good he's been.
He's quiet about it because he doesn't have the big fastball. And he doesn't have like a crazy, like insane breaking pitch either. But he's just got a really nice mix. He limits hard contact. And with a defense like the Rays defense, that's all you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too. And I just thought of this. In a ballpark like Steinbrenner Field, you really need guys that can get soft contact because you've got all these guys, as great as they are, anybody with a big fastball is susceptible to the long ball. It's just the facts. Because if you put a good swing on a 100-mile-per-hour fastball, it's going to go places. So having a guy that is not, doesn't have that same susceptibility maybe to the long ball as some of those other guys do. I was ready to argue because I was ready to argue with you about Kevin Kelly, but I can't do it.
Let's hear it anyway. Let's hear your Hunter Biggie case.
So the Hunter Biggie case is – You cannot keep his talent. This is kind of my thing. It's been my thing all spring training. Is when you see talent like that, you can't just stash it in AAA. You can't just leave it down there doing its thing in AAA. Talent like that needs to be at the major league level because at the end of the day, talent wins games. And all those other things about your refinedness, control, all that kind of wraps into talent as well. But all those things are important. But when you have guys with the raw talent of a guy like Hunter Biggie and the ability to strike guys out at the major league level, we've seen it. We know he can do it. To leave a guy like him at AAA just feels like you're leaving something on the table. Mm-hmm. At the same time, when you look at a guy like Kevin Kelly, he's been really, really consistent all across his career. It's really hard to say a bad thing about him. And so my case was just kind of going to be, well, Kevin Kelly, he's great, but he's got options. We can just, he can be there kind of as the first guy that gets hurt. He'd be my first guy up because when you bring him up, he's excellent. And you're going to know you've got an excellent guy down there to bring up whenever you need him. But the more that I look at the way the bullpen is constructed, the fact that Biggie and Kelly are both righties, because I think if one of them was a lefty, it would make the argument a lot easier. It's so tricky when you look at the bullpen right now, because the only guy that's even projected to be in AAA who's like kind of on the radar that's a lefty is Askew.
Yeah.
Askew. That's the only guy that could maybe affect the major league roster that's currently in the system. There's really not anybody else, unless, like you said, they want to try to do something a little funky and make Ian Seymour or Joe Rock a reliever, which I don't think this really makes that much sense to do. So now you're left with a bunch of righties. And if you're going to go with a bunch of righties, it makes sense to go with a change of pace guy. But that being said, the talent that he has and the fact that he is one of the major returns. And part of this is like, sunk cost fallacy is not a good way to run your baseball team. It's just not. At the same time, you do have to see what the kid has at the major league level because you traded an all-star for him.
Yeah. So I guess maybe Biggie's the first man up. because more likely than not, one of the guys who's going to get injured is not soft throwing Kevin Kelly, but one of the big fastball guys.
Correct.
Yeah. So you can replace like for like in that scenario.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you said, and I think we should unpack this, Vassell or Fajardo has to take one of the other spots.
I think so, because I think you need the other guy. So, like, if you're going to have six guys that are your relievers, really, your middle, you know, high leverage closer types, right? You got six of those guys. That's fine. I think that the way that the roster is set up right now, it makes sense to have another long man guy. That was a terrible way of saying that. Just because they're clearly looking to go with a six-man rotation. Excuse me, five-and-a-half-man rotation. That will necessitate having a guy that is probably not going to go a whole lot of innings, you know, getting starts and then needing to be relieved. And we cannot, you know, ignore the fact that as great as Shane has looked so far in spring training, he has looked really, really good. You do not expect him to be going longer than 4 to 5 innings to begin the season. Could he stretch out to that later? Absolutely. But to begin the year, I feel like you've got to have somebody else that can take a couple innings, because what you do not want to do is have all these high octane, you know, big arm relievers throwing a bunch of innings to begin the season. That's not a recipe for success at all. That's a recipe for a bunch of injuries that you do not want to have. So what you need is a guy like a Fajardo or a Vassell, or I guess if you want a Rock or a Seymour. I don't know that that's what I would do. I think it's pretty clear that they went with a Fajardo and brought these two guys in because that's their plan. One of them is going to be on the roster. You could maybe say that they're both on the roster. I don't think that I could seriously look at Mike Vassell and say, I would rather have that guy on the roster than Biggie or Kevin Kelly. It just doesn't, I don't think there's the need for it, especially when you consider that while I don't want him to be used for this, you know, consistently, actually two of these guys, Emrod and Uceda, can both go like two innings if you need. So that's great. Yep. But I don't want them used that way consistently. I want to have one guy that's their job. You know, occasionally we're going to need two innings out of those guys. But again, those are also my, you know, middle to high leverage guys. I don't want them being used for two innings a whole lot. I really don't. I want to have a Fajardo or a Vassell being used in those kind of I need 2 to 3 innings moments. And I don't want to put pressure on my bullpen that has a lot of, and I don't know that they couldn't handle it in the sense that they're not good enough. They are good enough, but I do not want to put pressure on those big arms to pitch a whole bunch of innings and then have them break down in June. That's not what we're looking for at all.
Yeah. It's a marathon, not a sprint, an MLB season. Yes. You can, I mean, the Rays in 2023 learned this. You can't win the World Series in April.
Correct.
So, like, it helps to get off to a good start. But the main thing is you need to win the World Series and to make the playoffs, you need your squad to be as healthy as possible for as much of the season.
Correct.
And, yeah, the best way to do that is to have guys that can eat innings, even if they're not, like, you know, the top quality innings. You don't want Shane McClanahan being expected to pitch 5 innings on day one. You don't want that. No. And it also helps any bullpen, I think, to use a Darbyism, the reset button.
Yes.
The reset button and or the game's gone. We need someone to just throw some pitches out there.
Correct.
Guy. We had a Rasmo for that for a while. Yes. I think Fajardo or Vassell is an improvement on Rasmo in that role. The question is now... And I guess to clarify and to kind of back up what you said, we might not need these guys after the All-Star break.
Right.
We might not need them.
Right.
Like Joe Boyle might emerge, or we might, you know, all the starters are firing and healthy. So, right. And can go 5 innings consistently, etc. But for now, we're going to need them.
Correct.
Just because that's part of the season, context specific.
Yes.
The question now is, which one?
Right. And this conversation is almost, I don't want to say bad faith for me, because I am just going to be hopelessly biased towards one of these guys for nothing he's done in the major leagues, but for where he played in college. Because if you've watched this show enough, you will notice that I often wear, instead of this Rays hat, a Florida Gators hat. I am a shameless Florida Gator fan, and that is where Alex Fiedo played his college baseball. And he was quite good for the Florida Gators. And so I am very biased. But I would like to back that sort of, you know, irredeemable bias up with the fact that he was actually really good for Detroit last season. He was pitching to right around or right or just below a 4 ERA, and he really only got replaced because they brought in free agents to try to make a postseason run towards the end of the season, and they wanted to bring in an upgrade. But the reality is that he was pitching at a high level and probably could have started for several rotations, and probably, you know, he could start for one or two rotations in Major League Baseball right now. So to have a guy like that in your bullpen, I think is really, really good. He was a high draft pick when he was picked. The talent is there. He's been kicked out. He's been in the majors for a while now, never quite lived up to that, you know, first round talent. He may never. However, the talent is still there. And a guy like Mike Vassell, who has been fine, is fine for the Phillies. I would personally, I'm going to go with Fiedo because beyond my just, you know, huge bias. I think more recently he's provided more value, and I'd like a guy like him that really can be that true reset button, as I do often say, that could go out there because he's a starter. He could give you 4 or 5 if you needed him to. Probably won't, but it's probably not what the Rays will ask him to do. But he can absolutely get you 3, which I think is kind of a must for this role. Like I need you to be able to pitch 3 innings. I may not ask you to, you may not need to, but you have to be able to, and be able to not just give the game away if that happens.
Yeah, I'm leaning Fiedo too, because he's been there and done it at the major league level. He ends up actually having a negative WAR, but his surface stats are all really good. His ERA is in the mid 3s. He was completely solid. But Mike Vassell's closest to being there, done that, is in AAA last year. He had a 6 ERA. I don't know if that can play. I know that's a reductive argument, okay? I know just going, well, ERA. But he's not a stuff guy. And he was giving up lots of contact, not striking out as many guys as you probably want. 109 strikeouts in 134 innings. I don't know. Like, in 2023, he pitched in AAA as well to a 5.3 ERA. Every year in AAA, his whip's been about 1.5. I don't know, man. I don't see what Vassell is other than like an emergency, everyone gets injured option.
Yeah.
And again, the outcome for not rostering either of these guys is the same.
Yeah.
You either, well, is fundamentally the same, where
right,
you either DFA Fiedo to get rid of him, and you'll almost certainly lose him to someone, or you return Vassell to the Phillies.
Right.
Those are your options. And if it means like, if you either keep them or lose them, I think Fiedo has a higher ceiling and also a higher floor.
Yeah. The only thing that's going to concern about Fiedo, and if you're looking for the, well, okay, Zach, he was great at Florida and he was supposedly this great guy drafted number 18 overall. Why isn't he good? The big problem for him is the walks. 11% walk rate last year. Bad. Not good. And unfortunately, his average for his career is a 9.7. If you're walking guys 10% of the time, that's not what we're looking for.
Yeah.
It's really not.
To piggyback off that really briefly, that will contribute to why Fiedo's like ERA and stuff looked good, but his WAR was bad, because Fangraphs WAR for pitching is really heavily influenced by FIP, which is fielding independent pitching, which literally is a stat that is based off your walk percentage, your strikeout percentage, and your home run percentage. And right, his walk percentage was bad. So that means that his Fangraphs WAR will also be bad because his FIP is bad.
Yeah, 4.91 FIP. Not good. That's not what we're looking for. If your FIP is approaching a 5, it's not what we're looking for. I will say his XFIP was slightly lower But his XERA was also slightly higher than it was, actually significantly higher than it ended up being. So there's a reason he's not going to start games. He's not that good. As much as I like him and I can fondly remember him pitching for Florida, he is not that good. Relative to the high standards, once again, as we say always, relative to the high standards we have for this Rays baseball team and what we expect them to be able to do this season, he doesn't quite meet the standard of a starter. That being said, I think he can meet the standard of a long man reliever when you compare him to a guy like Erasmo, who, good for him, I think is going to get a deal with the Nationals and get his 10th year of what is it called? Time? What is it? What do they call it?
Service time.
Service time, which is really, really good for his long-term benefit. So good for you. I really hope he gets it and hope he pitches enough to earn it and gets his service time because he deserves it. But if you're comparing him to that role, I think he grades out really nicely when you compare him that way.
Yeah, 100%. So that means currently our bullpen is Pete Fairbanks, numero uno, Edwin Uceda, Garrett Clevenger, Manny Rodriguez, Mason Montgomery, Alex Fiedo, and Kevin Kelly.
Kevin Kelly.
Which means we say no to Hunter Biggie, Eric Oz, Mason Englert, and Cole Sulser.
And Joe Boyle, for now.
And Joe Boyle, asterisk.
For now.
We didn't even talk about Cole Sulser. Is there a world where Cole Sulser's on this roster? Should we even consider him?
Here's the thing. This is where we talk about, you know, when I talk about how good this team can be, when we talk about, you know, expectations for this team. Mm-hmm. If Cole Sulser is pitching a lot of innings for this team, the expectations were not being met due to injury or poor performance, and we traded everybody, right? Mm-hmm. This is, you know, Cole Sulser is not bad. I'm not suggesting that at all. He's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
The level of bullpen that we're talking about, these guys, it's a tier above what Cole Sulser has produced thus far at the major league level. He's not bad. He does not suck. None of that. But the standard is really high. This is a really good bullpen, guys. Anybody who's talking about this, who's not talking about this team, this bullpen as a top 5-10 bullpen in baseball, is not paying attention. This is a elite bullpen in the making. And a guy like Cole Sulser, unfortunately, does not fit at the moment. That being said, this is where we talk about depth. Because if you lose one of those high-end guys, if your replacement is a guy like Cole Sulser, who can do it at the major league level, who can be a perfectly fine 15 to 20 day guy if you need him and can provide perfectly serviceable, can get guys out at the major league level, you're in a really good spot. I talk about it all the time. Roster construction and depth are so important. And once again, the Rays have created a roster that has both.
Yes.
Roster construction and excellent depth. So while we're not really talking about Cole Sulser to start on the major league roster, will he pitch in the majors this year? Probably at some point. And when he does, I expect him to be just fine.
Yeah. You'll probably pitch at least an inning for the Rays or Dodgers because he seems to just eternally bounce between those two teams, which means there's something to him because those are two smart organizations.
He's not bad. Like, again, like I cannot stress this enough. The guys that are not on the opening day roster are really good. There's a lot of really good guys that are not going to make the roster for the bullpen. And it's because of the high standard of competition that we've got right now. So, it's tough. And, I mean, you know, just had to make a whole bunch of, you know, we're not making the decisions, but we're talking about these really, really tough choices going around the bullpen. I'm kind of ready for an easy choice. And if I'm ready for an easy choice, I just go to shop.rblearsports.com where I can get all of the best Tampa Bay sports team inspired merch for the Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, Rays, and Sun. It's right there, shop.rblearsports.com. And part of what makes that decision even easier for me is I know if I go there, I can use promo code Flappy, F-L-A-P-P-Y, for 10% off my entire order there. I just go to shop.rblearsports.com and use that promo code when I want an easy choice. And anybody out there who's listening should as well.
Yeah, and you're not limited to just 13 on your roster. You can have as many shirts as you want. So
as many shirts as you want.
Fill up your whole wardrobe. Your whole 26 t-shirt roster should be RBLR merch.
It should be.
Yeah.
Well,
we did it.
We have a roster.
Yeah. I want to give a quick shout out to Eric Oz, who has had a good spring.
Yes. But
he was on the outside looking in to begin with, because he's only really had like a tiny cup of coffee at the major league level. He may end up pitching some meaningful innings for the Rays next year. I mean, this coming year. But he's kind of like a, yeah, you have something to prove. He's kind of in the you have something to prove space, which yes. he's got, yeah. As opposed to like, yeah, you of course you're on the roster. And yep. Mason Englert, weird fish is Mason Englert. Really good changeup, like outlier, good changeup. The yep. rest of his stuff is kind of air and doesn't move as much as it should do. It's like he's got a really weird profile, but his changeup's really good. Doesn't walk, got good command, doesn't walk a lot of guys, but doesn't strike yeah. out a lot of guys. Again, was not great for the Tigers the past couple of years, has something to prove. Might make an yeah. adjustment in AAA that would make him good. But for now, he kind of feels a bit like, do you remember Trevor Richards?
I do remember Trevor Richards.
Yeah, like good changeup, pretty rubbish everywhere else. He kind of made it click for the Blue Jays for a minute. So he like... did. There's a world where Mason Englert could do that, but yeah, has something to prove.
Yeah. And again, this is where we talk about the depth of this team, because as much as we love all these guys that are going to be starting probably in the bullpen for the Rays, all of them have big arms. None of them have like super crazy injury concerns. Pete has, you know, his weird Raynaud syndrome thing, which, you know, there is maybe a little bit more concern because they're not going to be playing in a dome this season. So there is maybe some concern around him, but I'm sure that they're going to find ways to manage that. They know about it. They're going to figure out a way to manage it. The rest of these guys, I mean, Clevinger's been hurt a little bit, but the rest of these guys, I'm not really huge injury concerns per se, but I mean, it could still happen. So if it does, you know, or if we're in a scenario where, you know, one of the starters gets hurt and now all of a sudden Fajardo needs to start games or something and you've got to bring up another guy, you do have a lot of really good options. And this is kind of where we take a little bit of a look ahead before we kind of give our confidence level. We take a little bit of a look ahead to the trade deadline, as we kind of have them with all these position groups. This is absolutely a group that could be traded from, specifically the right-handed relievers. This is a position of strength for the Rays right now, is right-hand relief pitching. If you find a team that needs that, there's a deal to be made, I think. I don't think any of these guys, like the only guys that I do not want to see gone are Montgomery, because he's so young. I want this guy around for a long time. And Fairbanks, because I think he has elite stuff. The rest of these guys, could absolutely be traded to me, you know, with the right package. And so, yeah. And there are guys at the minors who, if they are playing well enough to earn that spot, you could maybe make that move. This is the one position I don't really like talking about trading from positions of strength for the most part, because a lot of times those positions of strength are, you know, especially for starting pitching, it's always a conversation around the Rays. Are they going to trade a starter? Because they seem to have a lot. I never want to do that. But the bullpen, I'm a little bit different on that. I actually do think there could be a guy moved at some point. I don't know necessarily who it'll be, but there are a lot of really good arms there, and they have good guys to backfill as well. So that is where I could see a trade being made.
Yeah, and look at Jason, the return we got for Jason Adam.
Hey, right, exactly.
Last year. So it's a seller's market at the trade deadline.
Yes.
And the Rays will likely, health permitting, have an absolute dearth of starting relief pitching to make work. I could see Fairbanks being moved.
It could happen.
You know, you're about to go to the playoffs. If you Sader and Montgomery are absolutely firing and Biggie's doing well and Kelly continues to be good, like everyone's still really good and Biggie's like tearing it up in AAA and Oz is tearing it up in AAA, you could go, well, Fairbanks is a vet name and we could get a huge, like he could demand a bigger return than Adam got.
He could.
I think. Yeah. So you could go, well, and also it depends how much we're in it, I suppose, when the trade deadline comes.
Well, but again, like let's say that you get to that. This is a scenario that I think you could see something like this happening, where you get to that point of the season and you see that there's a guy, you know, a team out there, maybe a team that plays in a dome that's competing, mm-hmm. that needs to add somebody. You know, a trade like that could be made. But what I would really love to see either an MLB ready outfielder in case we maybe need one. Maybe if that's not working out, maybe it's where we find a team that he wants to trade from. Maybe the outfield is a position of strength for them. We make a trade there. Luis Robert. I know what you're going to say. The only thing is, I don't think the White Sox will be in a position to make a trade like that. Because, I mean,
yeah, like, we want our closer to avoid the all-time L record.
I mean, it's literally like them doing that is the Chris Paul meme. I mean, it's literally like, I don't know why they would do that. That would be great if you
wanted. And it would be cruel and unusual punishment for Pete Fairbanks.
I really don't think they would do that. Yeah. That would be mean. I would feel bad if they.
Who was the guy that got traded to the White Sox last year and like looked absolutely miserable the whole time?
Oh man, I can't remember. There was somebody who was just absolutely like, I can't believe this has happened to me. I can't remember who it was, but I mean, I think anybody probably. And it's not. And I feel bad saying that because yeah. I know there's probably. I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with the White Sox team, and I'm sure their fans. My heart goes out to any White Sox fans that they still exist.
It must be so hard being a White Sox fan. Our hearts go out to you, but your team also was statistically the worst team of all time, so you are allowed to be clowned on.
Hopefully they're at least a little better this year, because I don't know that I could watch that.
I don't know if it's possible for them to be worse.
I don't know
if it's physically possible.
I'm sure that is exactly what all of the White Sox fans said entering last year.
Yeah, there's a really famous football manager clip where there's a football manager like lost like 10 games in a row in the Premier League and they went, well, it can't get worse than this, can it? And the manager just looked them in the eye and went, it can. I feel like that's how the White Sox fans feel right now. We're like, it can't be worse, and they're like, it can.
it can happen. Poor White Sox fans. I feel so bad.
Confidence in the bullpen?
10.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I really have no, I can't, like, the only
9.5.
The only thing that I could say negatively about the bullpen is there's not enough lefties.
Yeah. 9.5.
You only have 2. That's the only thing that gives me they only have 3 lefties in the pitching staff at the moment. Shane, Clevinger, Montgomery. All the starters are righties.
Yeah, so I give it a 9.5 because I'm going to nitpick, but like, really. I might join you there, actually. Don't be concerned if like everything's going well for the Rays, but in like the first couple weeks, the bullpen are a little erratic. This happens like every year.
It does, and it's because you have guys, you have big arms here. Big arms, big stuff. They might walk a couple guys.
There's going to be a game. Stuffy bullpen this year.
Yes. So there might be a stretch where they walk a bunch of guys and it looks bad. Absolutely could happen. There's also probably going to be a stretch where anytime that a bullpen guy walks in, there's a look of no hope in the eyes of the opposition. There's also going to be a time when that's the case. When they're literally like, please leave Shane McClanahan in a little bit longer. Please. We don't want to see the bullpen. That's absolutely going to be a feeling as well.
I'm going to give it like a 80% chance that if the Rays make the playoffs, there will be some kind of streaming service related graphic showing how good the Rays bullpen are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, over under on that is, because it's the easiest talking point for people that don't actually follow the team is like, oh, wait, the Rays are good. What do we say? Oh, their bullpen's usually good. Let's go do that because they don't want to. Anyway.
All of these guys you've never heard before are somehow the greatest bullpen in MLB, but they don't have Aroldis Chapman in it. How is that possible?
You've never heard of Pete Fairbanks ever. You've never heard of him. It's never been happened. You've never heard of
MLB, like Fox National Broadcast or like Apple TV will still pretend that nobody has heard of like Brandon Lau.
I know. it's just like, crazy.
They're like, have you heard of Yandy Diaz before? And you're like,
it's just. It's truly bad. And it's like, you know what, whatever, man. If you want to pretend like, Jonathan Arana doesn't exist and that no one's ever heard of him before, go for it.
Yeah.
We'll see you in the playoffs.
See you in the playoffs, Bozo.
Yeah, because, this team's going to be really good. I mean, we talked a lot about, all the options. And the reason that, I think we have such a hard decision to make is because I think, I don't think we can oversell. This is a really good bullpen. These guys are all really good. They all have, top tier. At least one of their pitches is an outlier for most of these guys. Some of them have multiple outlier pitches. They're an elite. It's an elite bullpen. There are no question marks there.
Yeah, 100%.
Despite what that one guy said, So somebody said that there was like a question mark about the Rays bullpen at some national guy a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Also, for some reason, Fangraphs project us to be the bullpen to be bad. They project us as 24th most valuable bullpen.
That's a choice.
maybe we should boycott Fangraphs, actually.
I guess. I really don't want to because Fangraphs is super helpful, but now I kind of do. Well, because they have Mason Montgomery putting up zero F4.
Right, which is just ludicrous.
They have Emrod putting up 0.2. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just bizarre, isn't it?
I mean, these are some like, I mean, I'm just trying to look up what Emrod did last year. And of course, my browser's going to freak out on me. But like that to me feels like a deeply unserious prediction for them to be the 24th rated bullpen. I mean, I feel like even if you just kind of let your analytics or let your, you know, your system run and then just put out the system, I feel like if you see that, you've got to be like, wait a minute, that doesn't look right. Something is clearly wrong there. We need to go take a look at this. Because I don't know, like, if that's the case, then something has gone, like, I don't even know how catastrophically wrong. I don't know that there's any scenario where the six to seven guys we just talked about are, you know, in the bullpen and not injured for the entire season, and we are not a top 10 bullpen. I just can't envision a scenario where that happens.
Right. 100%. For some reason, they... What? They only... Pete Fairbanks, Garrett Clevenger... They project Garrett Clevenger to be the second best reliever. So...
Yeah, which is like, I don't even understand. Like the fan, I really like Fangraphs a lot. I really do not look at their projections at all because I do not understand... like
how it works,
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're using to make these projections. Cause some of the things they put out, I don't understand what they're looking at. Like they project Taylor Walls to have an 86 WRC plus.
I mean, I hope so.
I would be great. That sounds fantastic. That sounds like a pipe dream for me.
Yeah.
That sounds like, that's like my ideal scenario, but it's not like what I would project.
No. What do you guys think of the 2025 Rays bullpen? You should let us know in the comments. Let us know on all the socials that you can find down below. And get involved in the conversation because it's a really interesting group. Would you put Hunter Biggie in over Kevin Kelly? Would you go with Fiedo or Vassell? Is there someone that we're completely missing? Kershwin asked you. Should he get a shot? You should let us know.
Yep. Do you really want to see Ian Seymour? Let us know. We're getting really close to the regular season, and we would love to have all of you guys chiming in, giving your thoughts on the games as we're going, breaking them down. So excited to be doing game breakdowns again very, very soon. Tell us what you guys think. We want to hear from you.
Definitely, definitely. It's going to be a great season. I'm excited about it. Opening day cannot come soon enough.
It cannot. That's going to be our show this week, though, guys. Thank you for joining us once again. If you haven't already followed us and subscribed followed us on the social, subscribe on YouTube so that you know whenever we go live. Do yourself a huge favor and do that if you've enjoyed the show. That way that you will never miss an opportunity when we go live, an opportunity to be a part of the conversation because we want to hear from you guys. For now, raise up.
Raise up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.